B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Chris. Oh, actually, let's pause 1 second. We're going to do our legal ID. Then we're going to get to Chris, Lou, Josh, and the troll on the other side.
Celebrating 10 years as the sports voice of the new Philadelphia.
Thanks to you.
This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station.
Live from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. Welcome to the Fanatic family.
Yes, indeed, here. Tyrone Johnson here from Chickies in Marlton, 610-632-0975. Patty and producer Chris in Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you guys doing, Tyrone? Happy holidays to you guys.
Happy holidays, man.
First of all, I wanted to say what I'm thankful for in Philly sports. I'm thankful for that, you know, we got teams that's in contention at least. It's something, you know, to pay attention to because, I mean, I've been around with the Bobby Hoyings, playing for the Eagles, and then, you know, the tanking with the Sixers. I mean, at least we got something to look forward to. It could be worse, man, where the season can already be over, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. The season could very well be over. It could be over, but it's not.
I mean,
it's all in front of them. It absolutely is not over. Take care
exactly.
of business on Sunday. You're tied with Dallas. And you know what you have to do those last four games.
December is going to be an exciting month for Eagle football. So I'm excited for that. I'm thankful for some cornerbacks that can actually cover.
Yeah, Jalen Mills made a big difference. When he came back, the defense got better instantly. We definitely underrated Jalen Mills.
And you know what, Tyrone? It's not just his play. It's his attitude.
Yep.
You need attitude. Like, if the Cowboys would have traded for Jamal Adams, I believe they would have been a whole lot better because of that attitude they would have had on that defense. Sometimes it's not just the player. It's just the attitude and the moxie. You know, Jalen Mills, he comes in, he's cocky. He wants to play, and that rubs off, man.
It rubs off a whole lot. To be a cornerback, and thanks for the call, Chris. I think to be a cornerback, you have to be a little nuts. I've always thought that. You have to be a little bit crazy. You have to be a little bit – you kind of do have to celebrate when somebody drops the ball because in your mind, you caused it. I think corners have to be a little nuts. And when we were watching Sidney Jones early in the year and that adventure of him at corner, it looked like he had no swag whatsoever. He's just out there running around, no swag, nothing at all. By every measure, Sidney Jones should be a better football player than Jalen Mills. He's bigger than him. He's faster than him. He's quicker laterally than him. Every single physical gift, Sidney Jones should be a better football player than Jalen Mills. Yet Jalen Mills has been ranked somewhere around the top 20 in corners. Obviously, two per team, 30 teams. That's not a bad ranking. Versus another guy who is ranked in the hundreds at cornerback. And you can't explain it, so it has to somewhere be between the ears because it is not physical. Every single physical thing that's out there, Sidney Jones is better than Jalen Mills. Yet Jalen Mills plays corner at a high level, and Sidney Jones played 6 special team snaps last game, 0 on defense. And that alone is a big reason why the defense is playing better. The 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by the Rothenberg Law Firm, Philly Proud and Philly Strong for over 49 years. To find out more, visit injurylawyer.com. So I think that absolutely, Jalen Mills coming back on the defense makes Darby a little bit better, and it makes Sidney Jones not have to play. And I guess he'll be back next year, but his time in Philly has to be just running down. Lou and Redding, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Tyrone, happy belated Thanksgiving to you and the Fanatic.
Appreciate it, Lou. Same to you.
All right. First, before I get to my what I'm grateful for, I just want to say you're right on point about the Eagles. You never know what's going to happen if you get into the playoffs. There's been so many times that teams get hot right at the end of the season and they go on a run. So
yeah,
just get into
the
playoffs and see what happens.
Now, I don't think they can make the Super Bowl or anything like that, but they could win a home playoff game. I have no reason to believe they couldn't win a home playoff game.
You never know. The pressure's always on the better team. Or yep. Was it perceived as a better team?
Yep.
But am I grateful for the Sixers that can beat any team at any time, even with one of their best men down? It's so exciting to see such amazing basketball from these players. These players can do things that no other players can do in the NBA. Like that play by Matisse Thybul, I have yet to see a guard do that. Block a jump shot and turn it into a scoring opportunity. Ben Simmons, being a point guard, can do things no other point guard can do. Joel Embiid, being the center that he is, the all-around center, shut down on both sides of the floor. You know, can be so dominant and so on both sides of the floor. It's exciting basketball. It's an exciting time to watch the Sixers right now.
I'll go with that. I can go with that. I mean, they've let me down a little bit here and there, but they, for the most part, they've been entertaining to watch, if nothing else, and I'm glad we're thankful. Get a little positivity mixed in. The Eagles, they controlled their own destiny yesterday, and they still control their own destiny. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal. They don't need any help. All they have to do is go win games. That's all they have to do. 610-632-0975 here at Chickies and Pete's. A lot of people shopping. Are you a Black Friday shopper? Like, I didn't do any shopping Black Friday. I'm sure Pat Egan's wife didn't make him go shopping overnight, but I nothing makes me sadder than a guy getting drug around that store that doesn't want to be there because his wife said so, and he's just standing there in line at 5 a.m. just waiting for a doorbuster deal. They're 12th in line, and they only have 10 TVs. And I know he's never going to get the item that he wants, but he's just standing in line. Is there anything more pathetic than that, Pat?
The guy who doesn't get the TV.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying you're 12th in line. You're standing with your wife who demands that you go there, yeah, and they only have 10 TVs.
I said it earlier. I went to one Black Friday. I was getting elbowed in the face by Becky, who needed her, you know, KitchenAid mixer. And I looked up what I wanted on Amazon. It was cheaper on Amazon than in the store, and I walked out.
You just walked out.
It's rough out there, man. It's a war zone.
Now, there was a time where I had a relative that worked at a big box chain store. I don't want to give any free advertising. So I was able to get the hookup. So I went Thanksgiving night, not 5 a.m. or midnight. Literally, it was about 7 p.m. Strolled in, grabbed the TV and left. But I didn't get elbowed or anything. I had a bit of a hookup. Short of that, I can't do that. Come on. Can't live like that. Josh and Manny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
A great show as always. It's funny. There's a lot to be thankful for, obviously. But you know what? The Eagles are in the playoff hunt right now. Cowboys helped them out. They lost against a team that they've already defeated. I mean, I do think, you know what, Ty? I think you're right about the fact that Carson's probably looking over his shoulder because he's got an offensive line that's falling apart, and he's been injured before. So you got to think about that. There's a lot weighing on his line, you know?
Yeah, none of it's an excuse. I'm saying it could be a reason. I'm not giving him any excuses.
I 100% agree with it. I really do. I think that's a huge play, you know? And he's got to have those guys, like other guys as a nerd. The other thing I'm most thankful for, honestly, is Joe Girardi. Thank God we're going to have a manager that knows baseball and actually is going to know how to manage players instead of read off a stat sheet or whatever the computer prints out. So, I mean, I'm ecstatic about that. I think the Flyers have something going on. I think their goaltending has been solid. As a whole, I think it's amazing how 99% of Philadelphia fans are just, like, miserable. And I'm sitting there going, we're still on a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things right. So a lot to be thankful for today.
You're absolutely right. Mike Missanelli did a poll Wednesday, about whether or not you're positive or pessimistic or optimistic. 65% were pessimistic about the situation. 65%. I don't agree with that right now about Philadelphia sports. I still think the Sixers' finals appearance is possible. I think the Flyers are going to make the playoffs. I think the Eagles are going to make the playoffs. And I think the Phillies will at least, as you said, had a manager who's not a robot, not an
android.
He likes stats. He likes analytics, but not only stats and analytics. It makes a huge difference, I think.
Oh, it's going to be huge, and that's the whole thing. There's so much to be thankful for. Now, it's amazing because if the Eagles go on a run, those 67% of the fans will be right back with a bandwagon singing the fight song. You know, if they win the next four games. And that's what's going to be exciting is that Dallas game is going to mean everything. I really believe it's really going to mean anything. Everything when they play them. And the Cowboys, in my opinion, with all the weapons, it's amazing how much they're falling apart.
You got a bad coach and a bad owner. That's / GM. I think that's what happens because guys are playing under pressure. They say Michael Bennett was losing his mind in the locker room to the point where they can hear it outside. There were people in tears yesterday over a regular season loss. They're in there crying. Now, I'm not a person who judges people who cry. You're allowed to cry, but the Cowboys players are crying. Literally crying. The owner is in tears. The coach is in tears after a regular season loss in there boo-hooing. I don't know how they're going to turn it around. Now, there's another scenario that might make people uncomfortable. 610-632-0975. And I actually want to know how people would feel about this scenario. Because I don't care how the Eagles get in. I just want them to get in. The Eagles, if I'm assuming they beat the Dolphins. I think you are as well. We'll have the Green Zone on 1 o'clock. Myself, Pat Egan. During the game, the Eagles will be 6-6. Dallas will be 6-6. There is a possibility that the Eagles could beat the Giants twice, beat Washington, get to 9, lose to the Cowboys, finish 9-7. In that scenario, Dallas could lose to the Bears, lose to the Rams, and finish 8-8, despite the fact that they beat the Eagles twice. So the Eagles would go to the playoffs. The Eagles would win the division, 9-7, to Dallas's 8-8. If you're a fan, could you accept that? You lost to Dallas twice, but you're 9-7, you won a division, and you're hosting a playoff game. I could accept it. I think it could happen. I thought this was a 9-win team. I don't know if they can beat Dallas, even though Dallas is now in disarray. But because Dallas is in disarray, if you look at the common opponents, they've struggled with a lot of the common opponents that the Eagles have played. They could absolutely lose to a Bears team that likes to play defense and run the ball and keep the ball away because Dallas decided to not use Elliott this year for whatever reason. They absolutely could lose to a desperate Rams team that needs every single game down the stretch to get a wild card possibly, and maybe not even then. Could you stomach a scenario in which the Eagles lose twice to Dallas but win the division and go to the playoffs and host a playoff game? 610-632-0975, because I could stomach it.
That's all that matters, right?
To me, that's all that matters. But to a lot of fans, still, this Dallas thing is way bigger than it should be.
If they lose to Dallas every year but they win the division, I'm okay.
I don't care. Right, like, I don't care. But, and what I'm laying out, because Dallas, I thought Dallas had a chance against the Patriots. It turns out they had a chance. They lost that game. I thought Dallas, at home, short week, I thought they would beat Buffalo. They did not. Because of that now, it wouldn't be a shock if they lost to the Rams. You'd be foolish to think that it's a lock that Dallas beats the Rams. You'd be foolish to think that it's a lock that Dallas beats the Bears. The Bears team that the Eagles, by the way, did beat. So it just goes to show you that scenario, Dallas could easily go 8-8. That's not crazy. That scenario could happen. By them losing yesterday, the Eagles went from having one way to make the playoffs, which was win out, and that's still preferable for everybody, if that makes you feel better. But now the Eagles have two paths to the NFC East, and people did not expect that. I didn't expect that. Did you expect that Dallas could possibly finish 8-8 before 2 weeks ago?
No.
But you see now that is real. Would you be shocked?
Yeah, once they started playing teams that actually had winnable, winning records, and they weren't playing the Miamis of the world,
yeah,
you started seeing chinks in the armor.
And right now, I do not think it's crazy to think Dallas could finish 8-8, Eagles finish 9-7, move on to the playoffs, and the Eagles just take it how they get it.
The fact is, this is a really bad division that's completely
That's what it adds up to. But again, that doesn't mean that the Eagles are some great team. It's just that, thanks to Buffalo in a way, and the Eagles' former defensive coordinator, they now have two paths to win a division, and two paths is better than one. Mark in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What if I told you, and now I may be incorrect, but what if I told you that if the Eagles finish 9-7 and the Cowboys finish 9-7 and the Eagles still win the division, and to boot, the Cowboys beat the Eagles the second game? But the
I don't think could happen.
What about In that scenario,
it wouldn't happen for this reason. It wouldn't happen because they would have a two-game sweep and they'd be tied. If they were 8-8, that's why in that scenario, wins. Yes, if they're both 9-7, then Dallas gets it because they'd be 2-0, and that's the first tiebreaker.
I thought so myself, and I was swayed yesterday. I'm glad you straightened that out for me. Not that anything was on the line like a bet, but there was a little confusion there because it didn't make sense to me. And I still don't understand. Say the Eagles do finish 9-7 and the Cowboys go 8-8, like you suggest, and say, which is possible because anything's possible in the NFL. I still don't believe that that division winner with a lower record than whoever's going to win the NFC West gets to host the game. I still don't comprehend that. I still
because there's value in winning a division. Now, if you're saying should they change that rule, that's a different deal. There's value in winning your division.
I think the value is more or less regional for TV purposes and commercial purposes.
Well, because what do you mean? If you go to San Francisco, they charge the same amount for the commercials if San Francisco or Seattle had to come here in that scenario. It's not a TV thing. It's to value winning a division. There'll be four division winners, two wild cards. They want the division to matter. They want, in the scenario that you lay, if that was the case, and they were going to definitely have to play on the road, that takes a little bit of steam out of that big Week 16 Dallas Philadelphia possible play-in game. They're playing for the right to win a division and host a playoff game. And
I understand that. And that's just this year, but I do understand what you're saying.
That happens a lot of years. No, that's happened tons of years. What about the year where Beast Mode went out to, what was it, did he play? Where did he play? In Chicago or in New Orleans, wherever it was, even though they hosted a game and ended up losing the game. But that happens. That happens all the time. Now, if you want to change the rule, that's a separate entity. But that's how it's going to play out. That's how it could play out. Yes, right now, the common opponents seem, if the Eagles, in the scenario that everybody thought before yesterday, the Eagles would have to win out and beat Dallas. They would be splitting a division. They would both only have one division loss, so they would split there as a tiebreaker. So then it goes to common opponent. Currently, among common opponents, the Eagles would be 4-3, and Dallas would be 2-5. And the Eagles went out. Obviously, that's how that common opponent would play out. And then Dallas would only be able to get the 500 there. Therefore, the Eagles would win on common opponents, and that's how they would get in. But now, with the Bears game and with the Rams game looming for the Cowboys and easy winnable games looming for the Eagles are now in a better spot than they were yesterday just because. Might not make you feel better. Might not make you feel better during the game. But the Eagles now have two paths in order to get to the playoffs. And it just does. It just does. So I think that the Cowboys could lose to the Bears. The Cowboys could lose to the Rams. Could not. It could all come down to that Week 16 game. That would be more fun, a game for it all. But it may not come down to that. We in Philadelphia are not always lucky enough to get exactly what we deserve, exactly what we want as a scenario. But yeah, as Anthony points out, there were teams with losing records. Rams, Seattle, that have won, hosted playoff games with losing records. Like, that happens. That happens. Winning a division has value. And I think it should have value. So, like, let me ask you, Pat. Eagles win a division, 10-6, 9-7, however it plays out, and they host a 12-4 or a 13-3 team. Do you feel wrong that you got that home game?
No.
Like, I don't, right?
No, because if you're that good,
win your division.
Yeah, I mean,
and you should be able to go on the road and win. You should be able to go on the road and beat that team.
If you're a 12-win team,
playing a 9-win team,
you should have a chip on your shoulder, but you should go in and you should beat that team.
Right. And that's that simple. So,
And we've seen this happen how many times in the history of the NFL where a team who's better goes into a lesser team, you know, a worse team, you know, an 8-8 team that won the division because it was a bad division, and the team gets smoked. Happens all the time.
But I think the point is that it makes the division matter. And if divisions don't matter, then why do conferences matter? And then you just might as well just set it up to where top 12 teams are ever set up, just make it. Like, I do think that the division rivalries and all those things make football better than if everybody just played this random schedule where you might this year play Dallas and then the next year play this team and then you play the Giants sometimes, but you might play the Jets just as often. I don't think that would be as fun as knowing Washington 2 times, Dallas 2 times, Giants 2 times. I think that's better than just some other hybrid system where divisions wouldn't matter. So I think that those games are significant. And the Eagles, the fact the Eagles still get to play the Giants twice down the stretch is just unbelievable. Just really going to help the Eagles down the stretch, I think. 610-632-0975. We had a little bit of positivity there. Just a little bit of positivity. But it seems like this Thanksgiving season, there's still more angst than love in the air. From the Carson Wentz performances, from Joel Embiid having 0 points in a game. And people really took that one game, one terrible game, and treated it like for a while like it was some football game. I think it's lingering with people. Like it was 1-16 versus 1-82. I think people really, it stuck with people. But I think overall, things are still positive in Philadelphia sports. You have a real manager. You have a real hockey coach who wasn't a former Flyers player, which has to be refreshing. It's refreshing for me. He sounds different. He speaks different. He's wired differently. All better, in my opinion. The Phillies have a real manager. And the Sixers, in my opinion, are still in the mix to make the finals and do everything. They play tonight at the Knicks, tomorrow at home against the Pacers, a Pacers team that has been playing good basketball. Ben Simmons took 2 consecutive jump shots that weren't threes in the last game on purpose. I think there's a lot of positivity in the air, but I wonder, as people go shopping or they're coming out of their naps from all their leftovers and stuff, if people aren't still angsty about the sports situation. And I don't know why they're so angsty, but I think it's still there. And Pat suggested that it's just in the DNA. I wonder if it's in the DNA. If it's in the DNA, how do we get it out of the DNA? Because I thought an Eagles Super Bowl would forever change us to be a little bit more positive. And all it did was change us.
I agree.
And all it did was just change us to be like love Nick Foles and hardly anyone else from the team. No one cares that Brandon Graham got that strip sack. Like, no one goes, oh, I love Brandon Graham forever. All the love from that Super Bowl went to one person. People don't love Doug Peterson anymore. People don't love Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz.
Thank you, 97.5.
Zach Ertz caught the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. And every time he doesn't break a tackle, Twitter still goes crazy.
Not only did he catch the game-winning touchdown pass in the Super Bowl, he got yak on the
right,
play.
On that play.
I mean, when do you see that?
Right.
Never.
Yet, that love has quickly dissipated. We do the green zone. We're as guilty of it as anybody
when
he gets tackled immediately after a catch. Yet, so it didn't change our DNA that Super Bowl. How? That's what I want to find out in this last hour. Oh, no, it's not the last hour. I just want to find out this hour, correction. I want to find out how do we change our DNA from being just default negative to maybe once in a while being default neutral. I'm not saying that we should be like Kansas City or some of these places that are default positive. Default, we're default negative, and we know it. How do we get to default, just let's see what happens type? Once in a blue moon.
You know, sometimes I'm driving around and I'm pissed off about something to do with Philadelphia sports, and I just think it can always be worse. You know, I think about San Diego sports fans.
Yes,
they're
losing
not many
their whole
of them.
Team. Losing their whole team and having just a baseball team?
Yeah, the Cleveland sports fans.
Oh.
All right, you know, you got the one championship with LeBron, but other than that, your teams have been a joke.
Look at the Browns this year. All that hype and nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're a sports fan in Florida, like, just pick a team. You know, if you're a Tampa Bay sports fan, the Lightning last year looked like they're going to be, you set
a record number of points
you
and
lose in
the
first round. Once again, a lot of these cities that I'm mentioning, you know, they're not great sports cities, but there are diehard fans everywhere, and it can always be worse. We have owners that actually care, that want to win, that spend money. It can always be worse than Philadelphia. So while we think it's doom and gloom here, if you look around the country, I'm telling you, it can always be worse.
Right, and the Sixers, I'll get to more of it on the other side. How do we change this? I want to be thankful. I opened the show wanting to be thankful. A lot of people didn't want to be thankful with me. That's fine. How do we change ourselves? What would have to happen to change us from default negative to default neutral? 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 3, live from Chickies and Pete's in Marlton on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
1 o'clock hour brought to you by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Philly proud and Philly strong for over 49 years. To find out more, visit injurylawyer.com.
Yes, indeed. Tyrone Johnson, 97.5 The Fanatic here from Chickies in Marlton. 610-632-0975. This is my What You're Thankful For in Philadelphia sports. I got a lot of family here. My wife's here. My brother's here. Nephew. My dad is here. Thankful for all of them, obviously.
Okay.
Feels good being there in South Jersey, the area in which I grew up, obviously. And then we'll get to Patton Ardmore in just 1 second. You can join him, 610-632-0975. Trying to purge out some of the negativity that's going on right now, all the angst that we have in sports. But something weird happened during this commercial break here at Chickies, in that nice lady comes up to the prize table as I'm walking back to the broadcast booth, and she has on her Flyers hoodie, and the Flyers play at 4 o'clock, and I think that's great. She seems like a great American. And then she tells the road crew guys that in addition to being a Flyers fan, she's a Cowboys fan. And that's problematic for me. So not only is she a Flyers fan, so again, seemed like a nice lady, like good human, seemed like by all appearances, seems like a good person. Likes the Flyers enough to wear the jersey and get a spot early to watch the game here at Chickies and Peach for a 4 o'clock game. That's great.
Why is she a Cowboys fan?
Exactly. Like, what happened? What happened along the way?
Who hurt her?
Right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have the road crew go find her. I'm not going to put her on the air. Ask her how she became a Flyers fan, and then we're going to try to get a report. So either one of you guys want to find out why exactly she's a Cowboys fan, because I would like to know why. Because I just want to know. How does that happen? Because a lot of times the Flyers fan, the Cowboys fans are frauds in that right now they're Warriors fans. They used to be Chicago Bulls fans. They were Lakers fans. They jump around in
sports. I think they're back with the Lakers now.
Yeah, they're back with the Lakers again. We all know that kind of fan. They were Warriors last year, Lakers this year.
Big Yankees fans.
Right. But she's Flyers diehard. And if you're a front runner, you wouldn't be a Flyers fan because it's been forever since the Flyers won. So you would be, I guess right now, you'd be a Blues fan. Like those. That
well,
group
she would probably be a Penguins fan because they were.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Penguins fan. Yeah, there you go. So she would have gotten a Lemieux. That kind of fraudulentness. Yet, diehard Flyers fan enough to wear the hoodie. It's peculiar, right?
I got questions.
Right, and I got them currently. I see them talking to her, getting the full story. We'll report on it later on. Patton Ardmore, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Can I ask you three questions and with a yes or no answer?
Sure.
Do you think that Carson Wentz has value in the NFL today?
Yes.
Do you believe that if Carson Wentz takes his team to the playoffs and wins a game, that his value will increase?
Yes.
Do you believe that it would be in the best interest of the Eagles at the end of the year to shop Carson Wentz?
No, and I think you're stupid for asking.
I knew you'd say that.
So you're taking a quarterback that just won a playoff game. Why would you? In the scenario you laid out, he just won a playoff game. Why would I trade him if he just won a playoff game?
So here's my scenario.
No. In the scenario you laid out, they win a division, they win a playoff game. Why am I trading them after that? Answer that, and then we'll continue.
Because I believe psychologically he is not going to change. I believe he's going to be the same quarterback next year as he was this year. I believe as long as that statue is out front, that's going to haunt him forever.
But it was enough for him to win in your scenario. No, you called with the scenario that you selected. And in your scenario, he won a playoff game. So if he's able to do that, why couldn't he then do other things?
Well, I think he has more. I mean, I want to get rid of him because I feel he's better off somewhere else for his own good.
Scenario, he won a playoff game.
Absolutely.
So and then that, why is good. He's valuable here. There aren't that many quarterbacks. No, you got a quarterback with his abilities winning a playoff game. I'm not trading him. If he wins a playoff game, he's my franchise. I just paid him. No, I'm not doing that. Now, if you laid out some scenario in which they lose out down the stretch and some team offers you two number ones, but that's not the scenario you handpicked. You handpicked a scenario in which Carson Wentz wins out, wins a playoff game. So there's tons of positivity. They didn't lose to a team in that following round who has more talent than they do, and they lose on the road in that scenario at Seattle, at whoever the other bye team may be based on the records. Like, they're losing on the road. On the road, they're losing. And now I'm going to trade him because he'd be better off somewhere else? No, I'm not going to do that. Now, that was a hand-picked scenario. Carson Wentz he plays 16 games for the second time in his career. He's done it before. Wins his first playoff game he's ever played in his life. And now I'm going to trade him? And then who's my quarterback? I'm going to take the picks that I get for him and then draft a quarterback and start over?
You're not going to draft a quarterback. You got Nate Sudfeld.
Well, come on. He's a free agent.
Well, it's a long-term contract.
Sign him up. No. I didn't mean to be rude there, but that was his scenario, right? Like, you didn't coach him, did you?
No, he came up with that on his own.
Would you trade him after he wins a playoff game?
And when the caller brought up the scenario, I actually thought what he was going to get at was somebody else gave him that scenario and he was trying to prove that this person was wrong.
Right.
Because he's laying it out, and I'm like, okay, I follow you. And then when he said that, I'm like, that's just dumb. And under no circumstance are you trading Carson Wentz.
No. Like, he wins a playoff game and he goes, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to trade him.
I mean, you know. But it's so difficult to find a franchise quarterback in football. That when you finally, when teams have an inkling they have one, right? When they have Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston, they don't let him go.
Right.
Until it's painfully obvious that they aren't the guy, which is painfully obvious for both of those guys. And you'll see guys like Blake Bortles get a long-term contract, amazingly. So when you finally have one, you don't trade that guy.
It's nonsensical. And this is where I don't want to come off like a bad guy, because I love all the fans. But there seems to be this default of hostility with some fans with Carson Wentz. And Michael Vick kind of embarrassed himself. He had a tail in his statement. Everybody put a lot of stock in Michael Vick's statement. I put no stock in Mike Vick's statement because Mike Vick doesn't know what it takes to win, because Mike Vick never won anything in his career. But he said that the ceiling was set at the Super Bowl. And that's how you could tell that he was saying it with a slant. The issue isn't the ceiling is always the Super Bowl, whether it's Carson Wentz or any quarterback in the entire NFL. The ceiling is the Super Bowl. You can't do more. The tough part about Carson Wentz's job is the floor is the Super Bowl. And it's hard for any quarterback to enter each year with the Super Bowl being the floor. Even Tom Brady, if he doesn't win the Super Bowl this year, no one will hold that against Tom Brady because of all the Super Bowls that he's won in the past. He's earned that right. But there's only going to be one quarterback that wins the Super Bowl this year. And the other 31, using that rationale, would all be failures. And we know that there's more nuance in a season when you're judging quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks with this lack of talent.
I feel like only in Philly we can watch what he did in 2016, meaning Carson Wentz, and then they go on that magical run. They end up winning the Super Bowl. And only in Philly can we then say, okay, no matter what, he's got to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We can't just be happy. Because the reality is, if he goes and he wins one playoff game, no matter how they lose the next game,
that's a good season.
The narrative with Wentz haters is going to be, well, he needs to win the big game. It's going to go from, you're going to back up the field goal post every single time. Finally wins one. And as if that's so easy to do.
And that's how I knew Mike Vick didn't know what he was talking about. And that's why I dismissed his comments. And that's why I don't know why people have him on TV after the stuff, well, whatever. don't know why people have him on TV. But the floor is the Super Bowl. And nobody operates well under those conditions unless the team's situation is the floor. And that's not the case. People can live with the Eagles not winning the Super Bowl this year because they see the deficiencies. They can't live with Carson Wentz not winning the Super Bowl. That's the part that's strange. On the other side, I have the diagram to explain how the Flyers fan, who is also a Cowboys fan, and other things are going to be, there's other tells in her story. I won't talk, well, we'll talk about it on the other side, and we'll get to David and your phone call. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson, here with you until 3 on 97.5 The Fanatic, live from Chickies in Marlton.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Tyrone Johnson here with you until 3, live from Chickies and Pete's in Marlton, New Jersey. Love this place. Big place, two big bars, 1,000 TVs in here. Fantastic. Beer selection, you name it. This is a nice place. I'm glad I'm here. Got my family here this day after Thanksgiving. Thankful for a lot of things. Trying to find out what you're thankful for. And throughout the show, people keep on wanting to take shots at Carson Wentz. And that's fine. But the Eagles are in line to win a division. And after seeing how Dak Prescott performed against that Buffalo defense, that 31-13 looks a little bit better now. To me. To other people, it doesn't. But to me, it looks a little bit better. Now, before we get to David, I have the Venn diagram for the woman in the Flyers hoodie that's a big Cowboys fan. Now, you have her and her husband. They both grew up here in lovely Marlton, New Jersey. So if they're good, solid people, they're clearly Philadelphia fans. Like, it's very clear growing up in Marlton. It's very clear. Her husband was a Rangers and Cowboys fans growing up. And she was an Eagles, Phillies, and Flyers fan. So both of them hate basketball. Just saying. Just clear that they do. What that means, it's up to you guys to decide. They get married. Good for them. They seem like they're happy. They're still together. She then becomes a Cowboys fan, remains a fan of the Phillies and the Flyers. He remains a fan of the Rangers and the Cowboys. So a couple actually adds more questions. She switched to the Cowboys for him, but kept the Flyers. She didn't switch to both the Cowboys and the Rangers. That seems peculiar. That doesn't make much sense. And then I guess she stayed with the Phillies because he didn't inherit her team. So she switched alliances. He didn't start watching baseball and didn't switch alliances.
Sounds like he's the bigger sports fan than her. Because there's no way I'm switching alliances, especially to a hated rival.
Yeah, like, how are you an Eagles fan and become a Cowboys fan? That's worse than if you're like a kid and just like a fraud kid who becomes a fraud adult.
Was she actually an Eagles fan, or was it like, oh, my family cheers for the Eagles, so I like the Eagles?
Well, there's some more fraud there. Funny, I'm glad you asked, Pat. She also showed the road crew a picture of her posing with Drew Brees. So she's a fan of everybody. But then she follows up with, we lost yesterday. Clearly referring to the Cowboys. It's a lot of fraud.
How many Cowboys can she name?
Well, probably not many. But he's here, by the way, I found out. I went to see my family during a commercial break. They're seated near each other. He's in here in a Rangers jersey.
Yeah, I think
while she's with the Flyers hoodie. They don't play each other today, by the way. So I don't even know what they're just repping today just to rep. Well, the hockey stuff.
The Rangers are playing now, and the Flyers play at 4 o'clock, so they might be staying throughout the whole day at Chickies.
Is the Rangers game on in Chickies? It could be.
Yeah, it probably will be. It's on NBC.
Yeah, all right, yeah. So that's what it is. So they're going to do a doubleheader.
Yeah, but it just seems like he's a big sports fan, and she's a casual sports fan.
Just something about it feels wrong. It feels icky to me. All right, 610-632-0975. David, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, first I want to say I'm thankful for being able to... I was in Puerto Rico just yesterday, got back last night, and I'm calling you guys on sports radio. So I'm thankful for that.
I missed that. Where are you getting back from, David? I'm sorry.
Puerto Rico.
Oh, man. Welcome back.
Yes, yes. Hey, listen, here's the problem. It's two things. First, when people talk about taking the statue down or fold, that ain't going to do nothing if you had it or you didn't, because the truth is the truth. The coach, the quarterback already know Nick Foles did what very few quarterbacks can do. And if you take all of them in the history of the Super Bowl, he's probably in the top 3 to 5 for best quarterback play ever in the Super Bowl. So it ain't just about winning. It's about Carson wants to go out and prove himself. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But here's the only problem. Carson Wentz only played like 2 real seasons in the NFL. He got him to grow some and learn. You don't try to get rid of a quarterback as good as him. You know, let the man learn.
Oh, I think you got to let him take his lumps like Nick Foles took his lumps. The other part is what Nick Foles has never been asked to do in his entire career is take a team, never been able to do, is take a team from week one and take the team all the way through. He's never done that in his career.
See, I don't even look at that.
Well, that's something, though. You can't. No. Part of the Super Bowl is the grind of the season. It is easier.
Yeah, let me ask you this.
He didn't have to grind that season. He didn't have to grind. The grind is part of the deal. That's what makes Brady so special. What makes Brady so special is the grind. He had to grind to do all that. Year after year.
When you play as good as Foles in the Super Bowl, that's what's memorable to people.
Yeah, but that's wrong. Because the grind is part of it. It is wrong.
Let me ask you this. Why come only a few quarterbacks ever get to experience the Super Bowl?
Because of the grind of the season. Right, because of the season. It's not the game itself. A lot of quarterbacks could have a good game. Part of winning the Super Bowl, it's just the fact is, many times it's playing a really good regular season. In recent time, getting home field advantage. Winning playoff games, and then winning the Super Bowl at the end. That's what a Super Bowl quarterback is. That's what Tom Brady is. That's what Joe Montana is. That's what John Elway did. They didn't just show up at the end. They went through training camp into the grind of 16 tough games, and then did that. That's the grind of a Super Bowl quarterback. That's the part that Nick Foles didn't do. He had a great dessert. But he wasn't around for the appetizer, and he wasn't around for the main course. He came in, and he, as a chef, he made a great dessert. A great dessert. Carson Wentz prepared the appetizer. Carson Wentz prepared the main course. I think that makes sense to just about anybody that's listening to this right now. It makes sense. We cannot have a great dessert and just skip over the fact that he didn't make the other parts of the meal. 3 courses.
Sometimes I eat dessert first.
I'm sure you do. But the point is, you understand what I'm saying about a full
100%,
NFL
yes.
season.
The fact that
having to get through the 16 is part of why it's so hard. Nick Foles is not the only quarterback who's capable of playing a or 2 good games. It's the 16 games plus the playoffs that makes it so hard.
Yeah, the fact that he wasn't getting hit for 16 weeks, it benefited him.
It absolutely
does. It wasn't the only reason why he played well, but it definitely benefited him.
That's what I mean. It doesn't take away. That's a fact. I didn't even say an opinion. Like, to me, what makes Tom Brady special with the 6 rings is the fact that during those years, he missed 0 games. The only games he's ever missed was the game where he missed basically the whole year when he got hurt week 1 with the knee when a guy crawled up on his leg, and now that hit would be illegal. At the time, it wasn't a flag. Like, that's part of the reason why you can't hit quarterbacks low was that injury. He's there. When Montana was winning Super Bowls, he was there for the whole thing. Like, showing up at the end is not the same. And the statue was stupid. I said the statue was stupid at the time. Not that he doesn't deserve a statue. The statue should be erected the moment Nick Foles retires. You have Jacksonville's active quarterback with a damn statue. I mean, come on. 610-632-0975. Our boss checks in on us, and Pat Egan had a funny response to the text. I apologize for laughing about that. Have to fill people in on it later. 610-632-0975. One more hour here from Chickies and Marlton. Talking about the Eagles, obviously. People are very interested in this Carson Wentz thing every time I host. I'm trying to get some positivity. What are you thankful for in Philadelphia sports? And my non-sports question of the day, on the bread, do you eat the crust? On the poll, we have about 700 votes. 93% are saying yes, they eat the crust. 7% say no. I'll read some of the replies on the other side because I can't believe this. 610-632-0975. Be back on the other side live from Chickies and Marlton.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.